Thank you. today. This is you're moving, you're speaking, God. This is you never surprise. This is you've been in it the whole time. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. just like heaven. When you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden, and every eye is on you. Can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, just like, just like heaven? Stay a little longer. Here I will stand in your presence, and my true identity. Doesn't it sound like, yeah, it sounds like, just like heaven.
Hearts that burn with holy feet. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, man on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you could satisfy. This sweetness at the mercy seat, now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you could satisfy. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Well,
freedom
where the spirit is, bounty in the wilderness.
You will always satisfy.
Yeah,
honey in the rock, water in the stone, man on the ground. No matter where I go, I don't need to worry. Everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you need me done.
I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing. I'm all that I need. All that I need. Come on and sing it. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need.
I keep finding, you keep giving, you keep providing. I have all that I need.
You are all that I need.
I keep praying.
I keep praying. You keep moving. I keep praising. You keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. Stone, man on the ground, no matter where I power in your blood, healing in your hair. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything in the arena, there's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is watching over you even now. He's still providing for you. He's still healing bodies, and he can touch you right where you are. Receive him this morning. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same for me. Let's call on him. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. Promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You place your word above your name.
You heard your children, and you hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are
are the same God.
Let me hear you in the building.
You are the same God. Hey. You move in power.
Yesterday and forevermore.
You freed the captives then. You're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Come and fill.
Come and fill me again.
One more time. Come and fill.
Come and fill me again.
All that I have is a heartache.
Nothing else before my King, except
therefore are singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our hearts singing hallelujah for all the things he's done. Amen. Oh, so grateful. How about you? We're so grateful. Well, good morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those watching online. Now's the time in the service where we're going to have an opportunity. If you need prayer for any area of your life, we believe in the power of prayer. We worship our way into the presence of God, and then we expect God to move just as he did. When Jesus walked the earth, there was power demonstrated. People were healed and delivered, and nothing has changed. It's still the same today. So the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, our prayer team are going to be up front during this last song. And just feel free to come forward and let us agree with you in prayer and believe God for miraculous things to happen. Amen. So if you need prayer during this song, come forward. Otherwise, we're going to sing one more worship song. Forget about the people around you, and let's worship God together. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for your spirit in this place. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We lift you up. We bless you, God.
Ask and he will.
chase after the things of this world. We don't trust in our own thoughts. We trust in you. We seek you, Lord. We seek you first. All that we need will be added. All that we need will be added. All will be added. Seek first the King. All will be added. Seek first the King. All will be first the kingdom, and all will be added. See first the kingdom, and all will be added. See first the kingdom, and all will be added. All will be added. All will be added. See first the kingdom, and all will be added. See first the kingdom, and all will be added.
This is the kingdom.
open. I feel the heavens open. Oh. All across this room, lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Come on and give praise to the great I am. Oh, we worship you, O King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In this moment, raise your hands, lift up your hands, and make your request known in this place. Seek first. God, we want your presence. All that we need is there. All that we need is more of you, God. All we need is more. Welcome him in. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh. We want more. Oh, we seek first. Oh, we seek first. Hey. Oh, seek first the kingdom.
Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom.
Jesus, come on and shout out a praise of victory. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah. Man, doesn't that stir you up? Stir you up. For the Lord would say, as I led my children out of Egypt to the promised land, I did not let them find their own way. I did not let them figure it out for themselves, because I went before them with an angel and with a pillar, says the Lord, and I led them in the direction that they should go. And when they came up against obstacles that they could not cross in the natural, I moved behind them and took care of their enemies. The angel moved behind them, and the pillar moved behind them and caused the enemy to have darkness and my children to have light. So I comfort you today, says the Lord, that I go before you, that I will lead you and guide you, that you needn't have a worry about what to do or how to do it, because I am leading you. I am able to, I am willing to, and I am doing it, says the Lord. So put your trust in me. And when you are being led by the Holy Spirit and you come up against obstacles, don't think I've gone the wrong way. Just look to the Lord once more. Because as the children of Israel looked to the Lord, so he sent a wind and he blew those waters out of their way. And he gave them a path to cross through. So don't be discouraged, says the Lord. If you're facing a wall, if you're facing a difficulty that it looks like it's the end, and it looks like you don't know how to get to the other side, because I have a way, says the Lord. And I make a way, says the Lord. And I have a way, says the Lord. And I make a way, says the Lord. But your trust, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. I'll take care of everything you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to explain that to you. That's what the Bible calls the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible describes it in 1 Corinthians, that there are various gifts of the Spirit. And every time the Holy Spirit prompts someone in the area, whether it's the prophetic, or whether it's a word of encouragement, tongues, interpretation of tongues, whatever it is, the Bible says it's for the edifying, the strengthening, and the building up of his body. And that's what God wants to do this morning. He wants to encourage you. He wants to uplift you. He wants to give you direction. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a good God. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how good it is to see them in church, and you may be seated. Welcome to Ascend Church. How lovely to see you this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you've joined us to be a part of this service. It's a YouTube and Facebook and on our website. There's various, it's an outreach of our church, right? And we're glad you joined us this morning. But a welcome to each and every one of you. I'm so glad you're in church. And I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We have a visitor pack that we'd like to just hand to you where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand where you are that we can just hand one to you? God bless you. Come on, make it louder than that. Anyone else, just wave your hand. Welcome. So good to have you with us today. We're so glad that you're here with us today. In that visitor pack's a few things, one of them being a guest card. If you just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. And if you just drop that in, it gives us an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. Like I said, there are various ways that you can watch our service. You can watch on Facebook Live. You can watch on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. I love YouTube. It's so easy. Plus, all these messages are saved. So if you want to go back, we have a friend that comes to church every few weeks, and he says that some of the sermons he's watched that really minister to him, he's gone back and watched, he says, 100 times to get the, I'll take his word for it, I'm not calling him a liar, right? Maybe it's an exaggeration, but it's what I'm saying is there's a way for you to receive the word and feed on it. Maybe you get something today and you don't think you got it all, go back and listen to it again. But welcome to those that are watching on these various platforms. Go ahead and share. Let us know where you're watching from. We appreciate a comment on the message. During the service, we're going to pass a clipboard by, and we ask you just fill out, just let us know you're here. It helps us as pastors to keep an eye on the flock, as it were. And I'm going to make a couple of quick announcements. Just let you know while I'm still up here, we had a great week this week. You know, we've been doing a mission every single month. This month we're involved in international missions, but we've been trying to do something locally in our community. And so this month, this Monday, we went to St. George's Center in West Palm Beach. And thank you to those who provided food. We cooked, when I say we, it was other people that cooked the food, but we went there and we served the food, and we served, I think they said, did you say 168 meals to homeless and needy on Monday? And so we had a team of people here, and it was really fulfilling. It's something that we're going to do today. Thank you to Karen, who's our missions coordinator, and she's directing us to needy areas. We even had our Nick said when he went outside to serve, and they were like, thanks, big guy. Big daddy. we were happy to have the muscle there, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, that was great. So just want to let you know that our mission for May is we're going to be supporting the organization called Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies. Let's see that one. And we're going to be doing a diaper drive. So all through May, well, actually the first 3 weeks of May on a Sunday, just bring any size diapers and we're going to bless them. They do a lot of, they help mothers with parenting, and so that's what we're going to be doing this month, just to let you know. And then I'm not going to say too much about this one. I just want to give the ladies and gentlemen save the date. We have on May 21st, Pam Saig is going to be doing an Esther Inn gathering, and it's from 10 to 1, and this has been long coming, right? And so just save the date, and we'll give you some more information before that week comes up. So it's going to be wonderful. And come on up, and as you do, I'll remind you of our four main purposes. The first one, as a church, to our youth, to our children. The first one is that we want you to know God. Second of all, that you find freedom. Thirdly, that you discover your purpose. And lastly, that you make a difference with your life. Amen. Amen. We had a month of birthdays. So our oldest daughter was born on a Sunday, and it's her birthday today. And there's nothing to age you, make you feel old than when your daughter turns 39, right?
So, I know.
She's preaching in LA
it seems
today.
Like I was 39 just the other day.
Me too.
Don't you feel that way, Jerry? 39 just the other day. Now our daughter's turning 39. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Tell your neighbor, it's good to see you today. Best way to start your week is right here in God's house. You know, this is the beginning of your week, right? It's not the end. This is the beginning. Sunday's the first day of the week, as far as God's word says. And if God's word says Sunday's the first day, then Sunday's the first day. Right? I want to pray before we get into God's word today. Is that okay with you? Father, we worship you today. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here today. I ask that you would touch every life, fill every person. You are welcome. We reverence, we honor you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for anointing me and helping me to teach your word today, Lord. And I thank you for anointing each person's mind to receive and understand the revelation of your word today. And Lord, we give you all of the praise for everything that will be said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we started a series called My Best Friend, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Bronson. And so today I want to continue with that series, My Best Friend, the Holy Spirit. And this would be part number two today. Now, if you were not here, if you couldn't be here last week, I really would encourage you to go and watch last week's message. You can watch it on Facebook, or on our app, on our YouTube, on our website. But go and watch last week's message, because I can't recap everything we said. I can't recap everything today, and it really is worth your while to go and listen to last week. But Jesus said in John 16, verse number 7, he said, "It's better for you that I leave. It's better for you that I leave." Why? Because if I don't leave, the friend, say the friend. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Now, Jesus was talking about who? Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he calls him the friend. Some other translations use the word helper. The helper cannot come. Some other translations say the word comforter. Because the Holy Spirit is all those things. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's come to be our best friend. Now, the more that I learn about the Holy Spirit, the more I realize that the majority of the church today do not understand the Holy Spirit, and they do not appreciate the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's some people don't even want to hear about the Holy Spirit. The best thing that I can do for you as your pastor is to help you to know the Holy Spirit. The best thing I can do for you is to help you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He has been sent to guide you, to comfort you, to teach you, to speak to you, to empower you. He's been sent to do all these things. And the Holy Spirit is with you 24 hours a day. Now, I can't be with you 24 hours a day. As much as I know you would love me to be with you 24 hours a day, I can't be with you 24. But the Holy Spirit is with you 24 hours a day. And the reason He's your best friend is He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. He'll never betray you. He'll never hurt you. He is your best friend. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God. And He is also a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation. There would be no virgin birth. There would be no resurrection. There would be no Bible, because the Holy Spirit did all those things. He's the one who hovered over the face of the water in Genesis chapter 2. He's the one who said, "That which is conceived in you," said to Mary, "will be of the Holy Spirit." The Bible says Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit. So He did all of those things. Now, all of Jesus' miracles, all the miracles Jesus did were done by the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw that last week in Acts 10:38. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All the miracles Jesus did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12, verse 28 says, Jesus said, "I cast out demons by the Spirit of God." Jesus would walk down the street and demons would cry out, "I know who you are. You're the Son of God." That was the power of the Holy Spirit coming out of Him. He said, "I cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, we'll do the same miracles that He did. We'll do the same things that He did. He said, the reason is because I'm going to go back to be with the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who anointed me, I'm going to send Him to anoint you. And He told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't preach anything until you receive the Holy Spirit, because you're going to receive power to be able to be a witness for me. And after receiving the Holy Spirit, they start doing amazing miracles. I mean, just read the book of Acts. It's just miracle after miracle. Every chapter, God's doing miracles. And it's not just the apostles. It's regular people in the church. There's a man named Stephen who was a deacon in the church. The Bible says God did spectacular miracles through Stephen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we must have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. And we must have the power of the Holy Spirit in our churches today. If we want to see miracles and if we want to see lives transformed, then we must have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we must welcome Him and we must know Him. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit's come to fill us, to empower us, to help us, to guide us, to speak to us, to anoint us, to comfort us, to help us pray, and so much more. Some Christians are weary of the Holy Spirit. And often it's because they've been taught incorrectly. They've been taught incorrectly. Or maybe they saw something weird. Or maybe they saw some weird people. Listen, I know the Holy Spirit well, and He's not weird. He is wonderful. And you cannot live the victorious Christian life without Him. You cannot live righteously in this world without the power of and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Last week we spoke about the Holy Spirit. Who is He? And we saw He's God. He's a person. And He has thoughts. He has feelings. He has a will. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you and me. In 2 Corinthians 13, in verse 14, it says, "May the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Say all of you. Notice it's may this intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit, may it be with all of you. This is for every believer. Amen. And I think why some people have a little difficulty maybe understanding the Holy Spirit is because they don't really understand the Trinity. They don't understand that God exists in three persons: the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Three separate persons. If you were to get to heaven right now, you'd see the Father on the throne. And seated on his right hand would be Jesus. But the Holy Spirit's not there because the Holy Spirit's on the earth. But there's three separate persons. When I pray, I start out praying. I battery's dead on that one. Is Chester here? Chester, wave your hand at me. Anyone see Chester, the sound engineer? The battery's gone out. I'm going to switch, but it wasn't replaced, obviously. All right, where were we? When I pray, you know how I start out praying? Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So I start out, I talk to the Father. Father, I want to worship you. I worship you, Father. I love you. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness. And then I say, Jesus, I worship you, Jesus. Thank you that you came to the earth for me and you gave your life for me. I talk to the Father. I talk to Jesus. And I talk to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with me. You're guiding me. You're speaking to me. I speak to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit like three separate individuals. Now, every time in the Bible that you see people being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, every time they begin to speak in a heavenly tongue, a heavenly language, we see it in when the Holy Spirit first came in Acts chapter 2, it says, in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. In other words, the fire of the Holy Spirit came in the room and divided, and one sat upon each of them, these tongues of fire. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. In Acts chapter 10, we see this happen again. When God sent Peter to go and preach to the Gentiles, that means people who were not Jewish, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened in Acts 10, verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and it says, and those of the circumcision, talking about Jewish people, they were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew that they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, because they started speaking out in this heavenly tongue, just like they had done in Acts chapter 2, which was about 8 years before. So being filled with the Holy Spirit was so important to the Apostle Paul. It was the first thing that he would ask new when he met people who were Christians. First question he asked them, Acts 19, verse 1. Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus. And he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. What were they? They were followers of Jesus, right? And the first thing he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, they replied, we haven't even heard of a Holy Spirit. Now notice that these people were already believers. They were already following Jesus. So that means you can be a follower of Jesus and yet not yet be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Paul said to them. Have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, no. We haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, when he laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, or the Holy Spirit came upon them, and immediately they began speaking out in tongues and prophesying. Now, they received the Holy Spirit when Paul laid hands upon them, and they began to speak out in another tongue, a heavenly tongue. So that tells me that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent a subsequent experience to being saved. I can be a Christian, I can love Jesus, I can follow Jesus, I'm going to heaven, but if I haven't yet been told about the Holy Spirit, I'm missing out on something wonderful that God has for my life. Every time that you see people receive the Holy Spirit in the Bible, they always spoke out in other tongues. And the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Every believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit and needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak out in this heavenly language. And I'm going to tell you the amazing benefits of what happens in your life when you begin to pray out in this heavenly language. In Acts 2 verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Say, the Holy Spirit's a gift. "For the promise is to you." Say, the promise is for me. Say, the Holy Spirit's for me. Isn't that what it says? The promise is for you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So this is for every single Christian, every believer. The Holy Spirit's been sent for you. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He enables you. One of the things, now please understand, the Holy Spirit is not a language. He's a person. Because some people, all they think about the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And that's a wonderful blessing that happens, but there's so much more to the Holy Spirit than a language. But He enables you to pray in a supernatural way. It's called praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. And praying in tongues is scriptural. It's biblical. The Apostle Paul, he said this in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. Now there's a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about praying in the Spirit. In verse 2 he said, "When someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word that he says." So you don't understand what you're saying. Because he's not speaking to people, but he's speaking to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. So when I speak out and pray out in this other tongue, or praying in the Spirit, I'm praying and speaking from my spirit, not from my mind, because I don't understand what I'm saying. And you don't understand what you're saying, because I'm speaking to God. I'm not speaking to people, I'm speaking mysteries to God. In fact, in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says this, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive." Say this, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. The New Living Translation says, "My spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying." Now, I know that this is a challenge for some people, because it's very hard for them to speak out something they don't know what they're saying. But that's how it works. Don't argue with me about it. I'm not God. He said, "You don't understand what you're saying. You're speaking mysteries directly unto God." Now, when you pray in tongues, it's your spirit praying, not your mind. You see, you got to understand you are a spirit. The real you, the center of you, is a spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May your spirit and your soul and your body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus returns." So say that. Say, "I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body." The real you is a spirit. That's the part of you that's like God. That's the part of you that's eternal. And you have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion, your personality. And you live inside a body. This body is not all there is to me. It's not one day when I reach a ripe old age, they'll put this body in the ground. And this body will go back to dust, but I won't be there. Me, the Spirit, will be with the Lord Jesus in heaven forever and ever and ever. This is what the Bible says. Then one day, my body is going to be resurrected. One day, the trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to return, and everyone who's dead, their body's going to come out the grave, and my body's going to be glorified and become like Christ. So I just threw that in for free. I didn't intend to go there, but I just threw that in for free. But I'm trying to get you to understand that you, the real you, is a spirit. And when you pray in tongues, you're praying from your spirit, not your mind, directly to God's secrets and mysteries. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul said this, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray with my mind and my understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also sing with my mind and my understanding also. So Paul the Apostle said, I pray in the spirit and I pray with my mind too. I sing in the spirit and I sing with my mind too. I can say the same. I pray in the spirit a lot and also pray with my mind in English. I talk to the Lord from my mind, with my understanding. And then often I pray in the spirit, and you're going to see why in a moment. Now remember who's writing this. The Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle who ever lived, prayed in tongues. Hello? And praying in tongues is a choice. You choose whether you want to pray in the spirit or not. Because Paul said, I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. It's a choice. He said, I will do it. He didn't say, if the Holy Spirit comes on me, and I'm in Publix, and the Holy Spirit comes on me, and he makes me uncontrollably, I start speaking in tongues. That's never going to happen. You choose when you're going to pray in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit filled them, it says they started speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, but the Holy Spirit inspired the words. But you have to choose to yield to the Holy Spirit and begin to speak out words that you don't understand, that you don't know, you don't know what you're saying. You have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You have to open your mouth. And by faith, start talking in a language that you don't know. That takes faith. Not only did the Apostle Paul, who wrote more than half of the New Testament, how much of the New Testament did you write? Just raise your hand if you wrote any books in the New Testament. Let me see your hand. Because I'm always amazed, people, you never wrote one scripture in the Bible, but you want to tell Paul that he's wrong, that I don't believe he's speaking in tongues, Pastor Steve. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half the Bible, not only did he speak and pray in tongues, but he said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, he said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than any of you. Now, I wonder why the Apostle Paul would spend so much time praying in tongues. The reason is because he knew the value and he knew the benefits and he knew what happened when he began to pray in tongues. When you understand the benefits of praying in other tongues, I hope that you will be motivated, because that's what motivates me to pray in the Spirit, because I know what happens. And I'm going to share with you five quick things that happen when you pray in tongues. Number one, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says it edifies you. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Now, the word edify really means build up, builds up. The Greek word is the word oikodomino. Oikodomino. And it means, it talks about building a house. Have you ever, what is an edifice? An edifice, the dictionary says, is a large building, right? Now, Jude wrote this in Jude verse 20. He said, you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. So the Bible says, when I pray in the Spirit, I don't understand what I'm saying, but I am building myself up like you would build a building. I am strengthening myself. I am building and edifying myself as I pray in the Spirit. In fact, the Amplified translation says this: you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, you make progress, and you rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, I'm going to go back to that and read it from the New Living Translation, because the New Living Translation says, anyone who speaks in a tongue is strengthened personally. So when I pray in tongues, I am edified, I am built up, I am strengthened. In fact, the Living Bible says a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. The Passion Bible says he advances his own spiritual progress. There is something that happens in your spirit when you pray out in this heavenly language. The power of the Holy Spirit works within you, and you are built up, you are edified, you are strengthened, you make progress, you grow spiritually. Are you with me so far? Now, is there anyone in here who would say, Pastor Steve, I don't need to be built up. I got all the building up that I need. Anyone here, you don't need any more building up? Because I certainly do. This is what I do. When I feel weak spiritually, or, you know, in my soul, or I feel discouraged, I don't know what to do, I begin to pray in the Spirit. I can't imagine living my life without being able to pray in other tongues, because it builds you up like nothing else on earth. I can be feeling so discouraged and so down. And how many of you know that sometimes I'm human like you, and sometimes I have discouragement come to me. And you know what I do? I get down in my study and I lay down on the floor and I put on my worship music and I start praying in the Spirit and praying in the Holy Spirit. And after about an hour, I feel totally different. I feel totally different. I'll get to that in a moment. Now, let me ask you a question. Who edifies and who encourages you and who builds you up? Well, the Bible says you edify yourself. Now, I realize it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's causing the edification, but the point is you the one who determines how much edification you need? It's up to you. You can pray for 5 minutes and get 5 minutes edification, or you can pray for 30 minutes and get 30 minutes of edification. But let me ask you, how much benefit do you get, Gigi, if I go to the gym for a five-minute workout? Would I get in great shape if I did a five-minute workout 3 days a week? What kind of shape would I be in? How many of you know that 5 minutes is like warming up at the gym? Because it's amazing to me. There's people who can go to the gym for 2 hours, but they can't pray for 10 minutes. It's discipline in both areas. To go to the gym takes discipline. Can I tell you, to pray takes discipline? Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, that tongues, speaking in tongues, it sounds like gibberish to me. I feel foolish. I feel silly. I understand. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, people who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. And they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. In order to get this, you've got to kind of switch off your normal, natural kind of thinking. And understand that very often spiritual things can't always be understood with this. They've got to be understood in here. Can I tell you, any language that you don't understand can sound gibberish, gibberish. Have you ever heard Japanese? You ever heard Japanese spoken? That's not Japanese, obviously. But how many of you know, I've heard Japanese, and to me it sounds crazy. I'm sure Japanese people think the same thing about us when we speak. Because any language you don't know
I mean, if you don't know Spanish, that sounds crazy to me too. Number one, when you pray in the Spirit, you will be edified. You will be built up. Number two, when you pray in the Spirit, you will pray God's will for your life. Now, let me tell you, it's worth it just for this one. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought. That's one of our weaknesses. But the Spirit himself makes intercession. The word intercession means prayer. The Spirit himself prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And it says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. You see, the Holy Spirit has a mind. Because he makes intercession, he prays for the saints according to the will of God. So that says, when I don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit helps me to pray according to the will of God. And then verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, let me tell you, these three verses are absolutely amazing. Because when you pray in the Spirit, what this is telling us is the Holy Spirit helps you to pray the will of God for your life. Because he knows everything. The Holy Spirit knows everything. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to pray. I want to read the same passage from you from another translation, the New Living Translation. And listen to what it says. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads or prays for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. One last translation. You can consider this your Bible reading for today. One last translation, the Passion. It says, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times, we don't even know how to pray. Or we don't know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs, groanings too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones. And look at this one. In perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Do you know when you are praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit enables you to pray God's destiny and plan for your life when you don't even know what it is? And then verse 28 says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers and we've been called to fulfill his design purpose. Now, what that means is when you pray in the Spirit, you may not know what to pray. Because that's how I pray for you. I say, I want to pray for Tina. Lord, I want to pray for Tina. I don't know what Tina's going through. I may know some things, but I don't know everything. And I say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray your perfect will to be done in Tina and Tom's life. That's how I pray for all of you. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. Now, the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, that God causes everything to work for your good. Are you listening to me? When I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to work and cause things to come together for my good, to be woven together for my good. One of the things I'm most thankful for about praying in the Spirit is it helps me to pray God's will for my life. As I pray for my children, every day I pray for my children. Holy Spirit, help me to pray the will of God for my children and my grandchildren. And I just pray in the Spirit. And I know I'm praying the will of God for their life, even though I don't know what I'm saying. Are you with me? Praying in the Spirit, that's my go-to. I pray daily in the Spirit for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren, for this church, and for all of you. I pray in the Spirit for you. When I'm facing situations where I don't know what to do, I don't know how to pray, I pray in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. He's my helper. He's come to help me pray according to the will of God when I don't know what to pray. Because you see, when I pray in tongues, I'm not praying with my wisdom. I'm praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Because He knows everything. So even though I don't know what I'm saying, I know that He's praying God's will through me. And that's what allows God to work on my behalf. Bring everything in my life into His plan. When you pray in tongues, you can expect all things to work together for your good, because God goes ahead of you and arranges your future. He arranges for the right people to come across your path. He orchestrates things for you. When you face a problem and you don't know the solution, you can just say, Holy Spirit, I've got a difficult problem. I don't know what to pray. I'm committing this to you. Help me to pray God's will so that I make the right decisions and that you order my steps. Help me to pray, Holy Spirit. And just pray in the Spirit. He's been sent here to help you, and you need Him. Number three, when you pray in the Spirit, number three, it fills you with peace. Are you still with me today? I'm going a little slower, Barry. You notice that? I'm going a little bit slower. Listen to this. This is out of 1 Corinthians 14, out of that chapter. Verse 21, look what Paul said. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Now, Paul's talking about speaking in tongues. How do I know that? Read the next verse. The next verse, verse 22. Therefore, tongues offer a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. So we know he's talking about tongues, because he says the next verse, therefore, tongues. Paul is actually quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from Isaiah. And whenever the Holy Spirit quotes the Old Testament, it's always a good idea to go and look up what he's quoting. So let me tell you what he's quoting. Isaiah 28, that's what Paul's quoting. Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, right? He will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the, say rest, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, this is talking about speaking in tongues. And he says, this is the rest that causes the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet, they would not hear. Do you know, unfortunately, there are some of God's people who will not hear him when it comes to praying in tongues. I've had some people, they don't want to hear. When I speak about this, it's amazing to me, because I know they don't realize what they're missing. The word for the word rest in the Hebrew is the word manucha, and it means, this is what it means, the word rest, it means cause to be at peace, or to give comfort, or to be still, or to be quiet. Now, the dictionary says that rest means to relax, to refresh yourself, or to recover strength. Now, listen, when you pray in tongues, after a while, you find your mind becomes peaceful. Your mind becomes calm. Your mind gets quiet. And you're able to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you more clearly. All those things that were going through your mind, the stress, the worry, the anxiety, the thing, all of a sudden it's like a peace of God comes on you. Let me know what I'm talking about. If you struggle with worry, with stress, anxiety, fear, I promise you now, if you will pray in the Spirit every day, you will be free of all of that. It'll set you free from addictions. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, the Lord and the Spirit are one and the same, and the Lord's Spirit sets us free. When you spend time praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is enabling you, it's my Spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit praying, let me tell you right now, there's a peace that comes upon you, there's a rest that comes upon you, there's a refreshing that comes upon you, there's an edification that comes upon you, and you'll be set free from anger, from anxiety, from worry, from fears. You'll just be free of that. You'll just have the peace of God fill your heart and your mind. Are you with me today? We need the Holy Spirit in our life, in our church. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit only goes where He's welcome. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's very. That's why He's represented as a dove. He's very gentle. He doesn't force Himself. You have to welcome Him. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this church to have your way. Amen. Number four, I'm almost done. Number four, praying in the Spirit is a mighty weapon to get victories in your life. Do you know we're in a spiritual warfare? I said, do you know you're in a spiritual warfare? But God has given us mighty weapons to overcome every attack of the enemy. And praying in the Spirit is one of them. Now, the Bible says, I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, because it talks about the armor of God. It says, be strong in the Lord, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. How do you do that? How do you be strong in the Lord? Carry on reading. Read verse 11. It's going to tell you how to be strong in the Lord. Put on all of God's armor so you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Say, I'm not fighting flesh and blood. People are really not your enemy. They're really not your problem. It says we're not fighting flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We're in a spiritual warfare. We have an enemy, the devil and demons. So it says in verse 13, so use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks. And when it's all over, you'll be standing up. You'll still be standing. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop all the fiery arrows of the devil. And put on salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Can you notice that praying in the Spirit is part of your armor? Is one of the weapons God has given you to overcome every attack of the enemy? When you begin to pray in the Spirit, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit goes to work for you. The angels of God go to work for you. Demonic powers are driven back. When you pray in the Spirit, it gives you victory over every attack. We're in a spiritual warfare, family, and we got an enemy. There are demonic powers that try and come against us, but you've got armor. You've got to put on God's armor, and you've got to pray in the Spirit. If you want to be victorious, this is a key. It's a mighty weapon God has given us to overcome the enemy. Now, how many believers today are not using God's armor, which includes praying in tongues? They're getting their butts kicked by the enemy because they're not being... And I don't blame them, because they're not being taught about it. Because the church is so afraid of offending somebody. They're so afraid of saying something that someone doesn't like. Listen, I'm not out trying to offend anybody. But I certainly don't want to offend God. And I certainly don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. And I'd be honest with you, I'd rather offend you than them. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I want anyone to like me. But let me tell you the truth to make you free. And I've made a commitment. I must teach the truth of God's word no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. If I can't teach the truth, if I can't teach you the truth, I'd rather get out the ministry and do something else. There's a lot of places that I'm going to talk about this because they don't want to offend anybody. So they've got a powerless church. No power. Number five, and I'll close with this. When you pray in tongues, you fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to His voice and to His guidance. We read the scripture earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 said, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all of you. And the Message translation says, may the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And Philippians 2, verse 1 says, you have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit, and you felt His tender affection and mercy. I pray that you will experience a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit. You need to spend time fellowshipping with Him, talking to Him, hanging out with Him, listening to Him. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm not speaking to people. I'm speaking directly to God. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And I begin to tune in. My mind becomes quiet. The peace of God begins to fill me. And I suddenly start to be more tuned in to hear His voice. That thought comes to my mind. That's not a thought. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm not just praying God's will for my life. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I'm sensitive to hear His voice, to receive guidance, receive wisdom from Him. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, look what it says. This is what it is meant by the scriptures, which say that no mere man has ever seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. Say, God's got great things ready for me. But we know about these things. Because God has sent His Spirit to tell us. And His Spirit searches out and shows us all of God's deepest secrets. And no one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he's really excited, what he's like, except the person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit to tell us about the wonderful free gifts of grace and the blessing that God has given us. In telling you about these gifts, we've even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit, not words that men may choose. So we use the Holy Spirit's words to explain the Holy Spirit's facts. The man who isn't a Christian cannot understand and cannot accept these thoughts from God which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him. Because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. See, the more time that you spend fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, the more time you spend praying in other tongues, the more sensitive you'll get to His voice. One of the greatest blessings in my life has been my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one who guides me. I'm going to talk about that next week, how the Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit helps me. He speaks to me. He teaches me. He comforts me. He strengthens me. He empowers me. I'm up here today preaching because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 12:12, the Holy Spirit will give you the right words even as you're standing there. Have you ever had this happen to you? Someone comes up to you and shares a problem with you and you don't know what to say, and then all of a sudden the thought comes to your mind. And you speak it out. And the person says, that's just what I needed to hear. That was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through you. He told you what to say. Do you know the Holy Spirit will also tell you what not to say? Have you ever had the thought in your mind, you shouldn't say that, and you say it anyway, then you think, I shouldn't have said that.
You've got to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit guiding you. So many times when I talk to people, I don't know what the right thing to say. But as I step out in faith, the Holy Spirit rises up within me and he helps me. And all of a sudden, I say, well, what about this? And they're like, that's it. The purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is that you can help other people. And that you can be a more effective witness for Jesus. So I want to encourage you today to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I love the fact one of our new people in the church, I texted him this week. He said, Pastor Steve, every morning now when I wake up, I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I love to hear that. Every morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Throughout the day, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're guiding me today, that you're with me today, that you use me today, you strengthen me today. Just acknowledge him. Amen. Yeah, now every believer can speak in tongues to God. I can't overestimate the benefits, the value of praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, it says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. And I feel that that's what the Apostle Paul, he said, I want every one of you to speak in tongues. I feel the same way. I would love every one of you to speak in tongues because I know the benefits of it. I was 16 years old when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Theo prayed for me. And I just had a couple of words. I didn't pray like I do today. I just had a couple of words. And I kind of felt foolish saying these couple of words. But I'm so glad I didn't give up. Because a few weeks later, I was lying in my bed, and I was praying a couple of words, and all of a sudden, this whole language started coming out of me. Like you turn on the faucet. Ki arabasiki tabu rabasiki. And I started praying. And can I tell you, it changed my life. As a teenager, 16 years old, I'd go into the den in my parents' house. We had a record player, the LPs. Some people don't know what I'm talking about. Big old LPs. Before we had CDs and cassette tapes and anyway, so I put on the LP worship, and I'd lie down on the floor, and I'd start praying in the Spirit. 16 years old, and I'd pray for an hour. My friends would come over. Where's Steve? He's praying. They thought I was nuts. They thought I'd lost my mind. But where are they today, and where am I today? I became intimate with the Holy Spirit. I learned to know his guidance. Can I tell you, all of the best things in my life happened because I followed the Holy Spirit's guidance. My wife, we got married because I followed the Holy Spirit. So did she. I went into the ministry because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. We went to Cape Town. We came to America because we followed the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, my best friend. I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Is it possible that maybe you're losing some battles because you're not putting on the whole armor of God? You're not building yourself up spiritually. You're not allowing your spirit to pray. Let me tell you, this is the doorway to the supernatural. I'm going to close out with this. Lordy, Lordy. I want to read this off to you. And I'm going to just pray one prayer. And I'm going to hand over to Pastor Jill. How to receive the Holy Spirit. This is not just for you, it's for those watching. Number one, you've got to understand the Holy Spirit is a free gift. And there's nothing you can do to earn him, deserve him. Acts 2:38, each of you must turn from sin, return to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and then you shall receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. All you have to do is receive him. Number two, the Holy Spirit is not just for some people. He's for all believers. Verse 39 of Acts 2. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your family. Number three, you've got to ask. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and know you will receive. Some people have been told, be careful about that speaking in tongues stuff. You could get a demon. Could get a demon. That's so crazy. Do you really think God would do that to you? You really think you're crying out to God, fill me with your spirit, and then God goes, hee, 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 here's a demon. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus addressed this very thing. He answered it. Luke 11:11. He said, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not." Do you know what's interesting to me? In the previous chapter, Luke 10, Jesus referred to demons as scorpions and serpents, snakes. So he's talking about demons. He says, "I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions, crush them, nothing will injure you." He's referring to demons. So go back to Luke 11. Jesus said, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You don't have to worry about God's going to give you a demon. No. But just think about it. It's like a lot of fake press we have. You know what fake press is? There's a lot of fake press about the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered why there's so much controversy about the Holy Spirit? Because the enemy doesn't want you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why. So he'll make up every lie that he can and make it controversial so that even churches are afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. Number four, speak out those new words, those strange sounds that come from your spirit. You don't know what you say. In Acts 2, they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The Spirit prompted them, but they did the speaking. The Holy Spirit's going to prompt you, but you've got to open your mouth and you'll begin to speak. Amen? And then finally, put up the last one for me. Don't let your mind stop you. The Bible says don't quench the Spirit. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't be unresponsive to the Spirit. You can shut it down in your own mind if you want to. The enemy will lie to you. He'll tell you, "You're not really speaking in tongues, you're just making it up." That's what the enemy told me. Then I found out he tells everybody that. Trust the Holy Spirit inside you and begin speaking out whatever sounds seem easy to make. And then finally, keep on praying every day. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I want you to stand with me real quick. Will you do that? Stand with me real quick. Don't leave. Just hang in there. Pretend you're in a movie right now. Pretend you're at the movies. Would you walk out right at the end of the movie? What a dumb thing to do. Just, I want you to close your eyes, everybody. Forget about who's around you. Close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord like this. Just lift your hands to the Lord. And just say this. Say, "Father, I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to empower me, to help me, to be my friend. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. I ask you today to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I surrender myself. I receive you today. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, receive. In the name of Jesus, receive. In the name of Jesus." Start speaking out. Speaking out those words. If you pray in tongues, come on, just speak. Speak out in tongues. Pray out in the Spirit. Just begin to speak those words out. Kitabasi karababarebe kitababarabuburabaraba. Erebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebeb Come on, turn it up a little bit. Increase the volume just a little bit. Just speak it out. Now speak quiet. Pray quietly. See, I can be out in public with people all around me and just be praying quietly. Hallelujah. When we close the service today, I'm going to ask you if you'd like us to pray for you. I'm going to have some folks up here up front. They'll pray for you, lay hands on you, help you a little more. If you want a little more help, come up afterwards and they're going to pray for you. Do you receive this today? Amen. Be seated for a moment if you would.
Praise God. I'm loving this series. And honestly, if you didn't listen to last week, go listen to it, and I can't wait for next week. I mean, as I'm sitting listening, I'm thinking of specific times where the Holy Spirit's spoken to me clearly. Sometimes in a dream, like a specific dream. Woke up and I knew the answer to a situation. Sometimes just a word that jumps up from my spirit man into my mind that tells me exactly what to do. I mean, you can't even, we could go all day talking about the things the Holy Spirit, how he'll direct you and lead you. So I really appreciate you teaching along these lines. Amen. Now's the time in the service where we're going to receive the offering. And those that are watching online, you can go ahead. You just go to our website, click give on Facebook. You click give and it'll lead you there. And I always like to just read a scripture. I'm going to give you 5 biblical facts about the tithe. Tithe is an old-fashioned word for tenth. And the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. And so I want to just give you some biblical facts about the tithe. So when we tithe and when we bring offerings, number one, it is worship. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 26, "And now, O Lord, I have brought the first portion of the harvest you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground in worship before him." And so when we tithe and we bring offerings, it is worship to God. Let me tell you, when they came, they didn't just sing songs. Their offerings were an act of worship. Number two, when we tithe and give offerings, it is God's way of meeting the needs, the financial needs of the church, right? Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord all-powerful. I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse. Let's just say entire 10%. I just thought I'd mention that, so that there will be food in my house. So the tithes and offerings are for the benefit of the house of God. Amen. And, you know, church is not like Gold's Gym, where you have membership fees. It's not like a restaurant where you go and eat and you pay after the services. That's not how God's, it's not, a church is not, you know, they can benefit from other kind of fundraisers, but they're not. The income of the church is not based on bake sales and on raffles and on. It is God's design is that it is funded by the tithes and the offerings of God's people. Amen. So that's number two. So number three, it is for your blessing. Say it's for my blessing. Many times people think they're giving to bless the church. Yes, you are, but you receive a blessing, right? Ezekiel 44 verse 30 says, when we tithe, it's to cause a blessing to rest upon your house. I want a blessing resting on my house. Amen. And number four, it is for Satan to be rebuked and his curse to be broken. Just like you have enemy, the devil can come against you in your health, can come against you in your marriage, can come against your children, peace of mind, can come against your finances. And we need God's protection and God to rebuke the devourer. It says in Malachi 3:11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God says, he's talking about tithes and offerings. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And listen to me, it doesn't say that if you don't tithe, God is going to curse you. It doesn't say that. It says you are already cursed, so tithe, and God will rebuke the devourer, right? And lastly, it brings favor with people. In verse 12, it says, and all the nations will call you blessed. God will set up divine connections for you. His favor will be upon you, and God will see that, people will see that God's doing things in your life that you couldn't make happen. They'd be like, I knew him at school. He wasn't that smart. And look what God's done in his life. Amen. So as you come to tithe and give, those blessings are for you. Thank you for your faithfulness. We trust God. You know, our big things we believe in God, we believe this building is paid in full. That's what I'm believing, God. This building's paid in full. Right now, we still have a mortgage on it. And so we believe God to pay the mortgage. But I believe beyond that. You agree with me on that, that this is paid in full. Amen. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your people. thank you for this church, this community of believers. Thank you, Father, that for your word that just promises us that you are on our side, that you go before us, that you are behind us. That thank you for your hand upon their finances, Father God, as they give and tithe faithfully into this church. Thank you for your blessing that rests upon their house. For those that are watching online, thank you for your blessing that rests upon their house in the name of Jesus. Amen. Various, you know, the different ways to give. They're all up there, and there's envelopes. So thank you, ushers. Go ahead, visitors, if you just drop that card in there, we appreciate it. And we're done. Do you need me, my dear? No, I did it before.
All right, praise the Lord. Abel, can you jump up here real fast? Tell us what's happening today, 5 p.m., Abel and Michelle. Here, Jillian, let me use that. Tell us what's happening today, Abel. Are we on? I don't know if it's on. Try.
Hey, guys. As you guys have heard probably from previous weeks, we're starting our youth ministry. Tonight is the night. So if you guys have kids in middle school or high school, I encourage you guys to bring them here. It starts at 5 p.m. We're going to be meeting in the back room. We'll have signs, but we're just really excited for what the Lord's going to do. We're going to be teaching tonight on how to know God, and really the goal of this youth, Ascend Youth, is so when kids go through middle school, high school, and they leave, and they're on their own after 18, we've laid a foundation for them. They know who the Lord is, and they right. have a relationship with their Creator. So right. If there's any kids in here who haven't had a chance to meet me after, or Michelle after the service, we'd love to meet you and just get to know you and invite you here. Again, it starts at 5 p.m. tonight, so hope to see you guys here. And parents, encourage you to bring your kids. So we love you guys. And also I want to announce that we're doing Thursday prayer too this Thursday at 7 p.m. in the upper room. So
thank you, Abel. Stand up, everybody. Thank you, Michelle. Michelle is a high school teacher, high school students, right? You've been doing that for how long?
Seven years.
And you're going to be working as a team together, leading the youth ministry. Thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it. Amen. I know it's going to be great. Father, we want to just thank you once again, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're always with us. Thank you for your angels that protect us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid, no matter what's going on around us, because you are our provider. The windows of heaven are open above us. You rebuke the devourer on our behalf. We thank you and praise you. While you have your heads bowed, while you have your eyes closed, before we go home today, I just want to ask if there's anyone here, if you're not sure, will you stand with the Lord today? If you're not sure, if all is right, if all is well between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say you know for sure, you positive you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, if you died today, are you sure? Are you certain that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can know that. You can be sure. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every sin you ever committed is forgiven. You can know for certain when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to be included in that prayer. Just quickly, lift your hand up right now. Raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. Lift it up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. All righty. Tom, who's helping me out? Do you see anybody? You saw some hands? You did? All right. Say this prayer, everybody. As we go home, say this. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent your Son to come to this earth to die for me and take my sin. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I declare, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And from today, I'm going to live for you. And I thank you, Lord. I'm your child. I'm born again. Heaven's my home. My name's written down in your book of life. Lord, thank you as we go home today that your spirit is with us. We thank you, Lord, for there'll be a great week this week. Thank you for guiding us, Holy Spirit, using us this week, blessing us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. We'll see you next week, Mother's Day. Next week, Mother's Day. If you would like to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come on down. We're going to have Abel and Pam and Jerry and Michelle and Shanta. We've got people to pray. Just come on down. If you would like prayer, they'll help you.